Everybody, so excited to be with you this morning. Thank you guys for joining us. As Kevin said earlier, my name is Clint Ettinger. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Crossline. And excited to speak with you this morning and excited to kind of finish up this series, Grit, that we've been in. If you have missed this series or maybe you're kind of coming in on the tail end here, this series, Grit, is all about how we not just make it through storms, but come out stronger on the other side. Because we believe here at Crossline that through the power and through the name of Jesus, we are helping build families that win. But we also understand that life is hard, right? And it comes with difficult moments. It comes with unseen diagnosis. It comes with stress at work. It comes with things that feel like they drain you every day. It comes with difficult people. It comes with family issues. Like all these things, life is part of life, right? And so we all go through these different storms. We're calling these storms, these different moments in our life that are just really difficult, that seem to shake everything up. And we want families and people to be able to not just make it through a storm, but we believe that God's actually given us tools to become stronger through storms, to have grit, to be better on the other side of a storm in our life. And so that's what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. And if you missed any of those messages, highly encourage you to go to crosslinecommunity.org. You can catch up on the messages there, or you can go to our YouTube page and they're there as well. And today we're going to get into the last tool that God has given us to develop grit and make it through these storms stronger. But before I get there, I want to ask a question. I want to see, make sure I'm not alone here. Anybody have different playlists for different occasions? Like you got different go-to playlists for different moments in your life? Okay, all right, I'm not the only one. All right, I'm not alone here. Great. You know, maybe you got a gym playlist, you know, something to kind of amp you up. Maybe you've got I'm driving late at night, and so I need some really rocking music to try and keep me awake. Maybe you've got a housework playlist. This is your go-to songs when you know it's time to just get some cleaning done. Or maybe you've got a hanging out with friends kind of playlist, right? Something that maybe holds some memories for all of you guys. We've got these different things for different moments. I have these two. I have a workout playlist, and one of the songs on that playlist is a song called You Can't Stop Me by Andy Mineo. Check this one out. Oh yeah, you feel it. So good. It hypes me up every time. It works every single time. Such a good song. So good. I think I can lift 10% more weight when that song is on. Like, no joke. That song gets me going every time. Or, you know, like if I'm doing yard work, I have a country playlist that I turn to because I feel like that's an appropriate time to listen to country music. I'm outside. I'm doing things with my hands. It just feels very country to me. And so one of the songs on that playlist is Millionaire by Chris Stapleton.
They say love is more precious than gold. It can't be bought and it can't be sold. I got love.
Fix the sprinkler head, you know? So good.
That makes me a millionaire.
It's a great song, right? Country music, classic, outdoor, work music. I got a whole playlist of that. And then there are songs that, you know, maybe you got a song for you that you're playing when you have a bad day, right? Or life feels difficult, or, you know, just feels overwhelming sometimes. One of my go-to songs for this is a song called Drown. It's by Lecrae. This song does such a good job of like naming all the stuff. In those moments where I feel like life is too much and I feel like I'm drowning and I can't quite catch my breath, like that's a go-to song for me because it just lets me know like Lecrae does such a great job of naming all of that and it makes me feel seen in that moment and it just kind of gives me a moment to take a breath sometimes. And maybe you've probably got some songs like that for you. We've all got songs like that, right? Songs that make us feel something. Maybe songs that take you back to a moment in time and down memory lane. We've got songs that comfort us. We've got songs that hype us up. We've got songs that calm us down, right? We've got songs that can help refocus us. And there's actually a reason these songs hit so deeply in the ways that they do. And here's what's wild. Science actually backs all this up. See, researchers have found that music activates multiple parts of the brain at one time, including the emotional and memory centers. In a lot of studies, even music is seen to release dopamine. That's your brain's kind of feel-good chemicals, and it actually lowers stress hormones like cortisol. And so music, it doesn't just fill silence. It actually helps shape our internal world. It organizes what feels chaotic inside of us. It can give shape to things that we can't maybe articulate or have a word for in a moment. And we all know that it's one thing to have a bad day or feel off or, you know, need a little mood booster or something like that. It's another thing entirely to be hit by a storm, to be going through stress that feels like it's literally weighing you down, to be on shaky ground in a relationship, in a marriage, to have kids that are just frustrating to be around sometimes. Those storm moments, they don't just hit us. They don't just shake circumstances. They shake us. They tend to disorganize our whole internal world, and that's where our heads tend to fill up with fear and lies, and we can spiral. Our hearts fill with emotions that we don't know what to do with. Our bodies start to tense up, and we carry stress, and our shoulders tighten, and our jaws clench, and we just feel maybe a little bit more tired than normal. See, storms scatter what God meant to stay united. And in that place, it can feel unnatural to reach out to God. But this is exactly where the tool of worship comes in to give us grit. See, most people actually don't know what exactly worship is or why we do it. And worship is a big word. It's actually very all-encompassing. It's not just the thing we do at the end of service, right? It's not just singing. It is also the thing that we do at the end of service, and it is also singing, but it's big. And so this morning, I don't have, you know, 4 weeks worth of time to give you all the things that worship can be. And so we're gonna narrow in, and we're gonna focus on those moments that we have at the end of services, and we're gonna focus in on the singing and the song part of worship. Because as we just talked about, music is powerful. And we put it in the context of honoring God. Worship can actually realign what the storm disorganizes. So today, we're going to talk about worship, but we're not just going to talk about worship. We're actually going to practice worship. We're going to do something a little bit different today than maybe you're used to if you've been here before. We are going to change up service, and what we're going to do is we're going to teach on a part of what worship is, and then we're going to actually do some worship. We're going to actually practice what we talk about, and then we'll do another teaching, another practice, and another teaching, and another practice. So it's going to feel a little bit different than normal, but I think that's good, because I think sometimes we got to get outside the norm to allow God to do something new and to do something different. And I just want to name what maybe we're feeling in this moment. Some of you guys, the moment I said worship, you got a little giddy in your seat, and you're like so excited. This is going to be your favorite day. Some of you guys don't sing because you're just like, I have a bad voice. I don't open my mouth. Some of you wonder, why are those crazy people raising their hand? What are they doing down there? And then some of you guys are just literally just waiting for the music portion to be over so you can go eat at the end of service, right? Like, wherever you're at on that spectrum, I just want to say, it's okay to be there. Those are all perfectly fine, normal places to be. I wasn't always into worship either. One summer, I went to a youth camp, and my youth pastor really challenged me to get out of my comfort zone. And so I went, and I dropped my guard, and I went down to the front where all the kids were worshiping, and I participated. And God met me there in a way that changed my life forever. So my prayer and my hope for us today is simple. It's just that we would all be open, that we'd try something new, that today may be your first taste of what worship can actually do in the storm. And if you're here and you're not even sure about the whole God thing, let alone singing to him, I want to say this day can be for you as well, because I'm going to be teaching about who God is and about worship and why we do these things. And so my hope for you and my prayer for you is the same, is that you would just be open and receptive to something that might just change your life from this moment forward. Because when we're in a storm, our strength often fades and we become disorganized. And worship has this unique ability through song to renew our strength and put our head, our heart, and our hands back into alignment. It does this by reminding us of truth, giving us a place to go with emotion, and connecting our hearts to God, and it puts our body in the story as we approach God with our whole self. And so as we get ready to dive into this conversation on worship, I just want to start with Jesus. Because for me, Jesus is central to everything in the Christian faith. The words of Jesus are the most important words, in my opinion. And so that's where I want to start. And he has some really cool stuff to say on worship. He actually has a very profound moment discussing what true worship is. In John chapter 4, for those of you who are unfamiliar, Jesus is traveling with his disciples. They come to this well. There's a woman getting water from the well. She is the wrong kind of person at the well at the wrong kind of time of day to go get water. All the other women have already done this. She's got a lot of crazy history. Jesus honors her, loves her, and speaks to her right where she's at. And then she kind of starts to understand who he is. She's got a whole bunch of questions for him. And one of these questions is about worship. And that's where we pick up in verse 21. She has asked him about where she's supposed to worship. And this is what Jesus said. "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." There's some really strong statements in there, right? Jesus says, this is what true worship is. So all other worship is maybe untrue. That's what I hear when I read it. And then he says that the Father is looking. The Father is actively seeking those who would worship him in these ways, in spirit and in truth. And so I don't know about you, but if Jesus is going to describe what a true worshiper is, that's the kind of worshiper that I want to be. So that's what we're going to dive into. Because in the storm, those that know how to truly worship will find a source of strength and realignment that we just can't muster up on our own. So let's break this down. We're going to start with worshiping in truth. What does it mean to worship in truth, as Jesus says here? Well, this means to worship from truth. In other words, true worship is based in the truth about who God is and what he's done. To worship in truth is to worship based on the truth of who God is and what he has done. It is this certain truth of who God is and what he has done that should drive us to worship. Who God is and what he's done in your life should inspire you and drive you towards worship. And Kevin touched on last week the importance of truth, as he talked about how Scripture anchors us in the storm. And that is a great message. Again, you should go back and check it out. And so to know God's word and to know God's truth is so important in a storm. It keeps you anchored. But I think also to truly know it from like your core, not just something that you cognitively agree with, but something that you truly know and experience, I think that kind of truth and understanding of who God is actually drives worship. Because in the storm, when things are crazy in your life, it can feel real loud, right? Like in those moments where you don't get the thing that you've been working hard for, or the thing that you've been trying to hold together actually just falls apart. It feels like everything else is crazy. And you have an enemy of your soul, often referred to as Satan or devil, who wants to see you suffer because God loves you. And in those chaos moments, that enemy loves to target your mind and get you to amplify fear and believe lies. That's one of his favorite tools. And so when we worship, Because worship is biblical truth set to music, when we worship, it recenters our thoughts on what is true instead of what is threatening. It's so easy for our focus to go the other way. Right? When we're in the middle of that situation and life feels chaotic and we're not sure even where we're standing at the moment, it's easy to focus on what's threatening for us. Worship recenters our focus on what is true instead of what's threatening. And this is how King David writes many of his Psalms. For those of you who are unfamiliar with King David, man, he was a super cool figure in biblical history. He was a king, he was a warrior, and he was a songwriter and a musician, right? Like, he was just kind of all the things. And he wrote many of his songs and many of his poems in the middle of chaos in his life. He was hunted for many, many years, like literally hunted for his life. He was betrayed. He was living in caves. He was on a lot of battlefields. He was not comfortable. He was in the middle of several storms. And it's actually in the middle of those storms where he writes some of his songs to God, like Psalm 63 right here. Actually, if you got your Bible, there's a little title. It says, A Psalm of David Regarding a Time When David Was in the Wilderness of Judah. So David's on the run here. He says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. David's in the middle of the storm, and he sings that he needs God like water. How powerful God is, how he's over everything, and he is remembering God's unfailing love. Because of those things, he's going to sing praise. See, worship is not about our circumstance. It's about truth. Worship isn't everything's good and so I'll give up some praise. Worship's about who God is. We worship because God is merciful. We worship because God is glorious. We worship because he's gracious. We worship because he's slow to anger, because he's faithful, because he's overflowing with love, because he is creator, sustainer, provider, defender, the only one true God. We worship because he is Savior. We worship because God is perfectly good and perfectly kind. We worship because he's righteous, everlasting, powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, pure life, exalted, our great deliverer, and the King of kings. That is why we worship. Worship, when we sing, is declaring that truth louder than whatever storm we're going through. And that's what I want to do next. This song that we're about to sing is all truth. And here's what I would challenge you to do. Even if it feels unfamiliar, sing with us. And when you sing, you're not singing for the room. You're not singing for people around you. You're singing for alignment. You're singing to declare and proclaim the truth of God through music. So I'm going to pray, and then we're all going to stand and praise the Lord together because of who he is and what he's done. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. God, we trust in your character. We trust in who you are. We trust in the ways that you have shown up in our lives. And as we prepare our hearts to worship you and praise you, would you remind us of that truth as we declare it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again.
Guys can take a seat. And here's what I love about that song, songs like that, singing in worship. See, that song right there, that's the gospel. And so if you sat here and you sang that, you proclaimed the gospel over yourself. The Bible says if we say that with our mouth and believe that in our heart, then we are saved. That's what that song is. We just sang and proclaimed the gospel over ourselves, over this room. That is powerful. And I got to tell you, if there is one truth that I know, it's that Jesus saved my life. And he is still saving my life. And so songs like that, I am just going to proclaim it. That is the truth. When my world feels shaky, when things are going on that feel out of my control, I will worship and I'll hold on to that truth. That's why that's powerful. Worship refocuses us on God's truth. And it's where true worshipers worship from. But true worship isn't only proclaiming truth. Jesus says that it's also done in spirit. And so if we want to be stronger on the other side of our storms, we've got to worship with our spirits. The Greek word here that's used in John 4 is pneuma. Pneuma's got a lot of different ways that it's used in the Bible. It can mean God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. It can mean spirits in general. It can mean breath or wind, and it can mean our spirit, our life force, the power by which we think and feel and decide. It's the core essence of us. It's not purely emotion, but definitely emotion is part of it, what we feel. Like, have you ever heard something or seen something or read something and just like felt it to your core, right? You just like saw it and it just like pinged you in a different way. Or, you've just like, you can feel it, right? When something hits that part of you. It's a moment where we respond with all of us. And that's how I like to define what Jesus is saying here. If I were going to rewrite Jesus's words into my own words, this is how I define it. I say worship is a response to the truth of who God is from the core of who you are, your spirit. And storms, they're interesting because they don't just mess with your thoughts, right? They hit your heart. You can feel everything or you can feel nothing sometimes. You can cry easily or you can shut down. You can feel frustrated or anxious or angry or overwhelmed or numb. I mean, honestly, feeling nothing is its own storm. Worship is a safe place where we can bring all of that, all of us. It's a heart connection as well as a head connection. And for my guys in the room, this may be really unfamiliar territory for you. Typically, if I ask a guy to name his feelings, he's like, happy, sad, angry. That's all we got, all right? It's like three crayons in a box, y'all. So this might be a little unfamiliar territory to talk about the core of who you are and feelings and stuff like that, but I just encourage you to open yourself up a little bit. Again, we're going to look at David. David, warrior, king, fighter, also poet and musician, right? He's got all of it. And he writes Psalm 13, which I think shows us what it looks like to bring our spirit into worship, to bring all of us into worship. We're just going to read this whole psalm. It's short, starting in verse 1 of Psalm 13. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? Maybe you felt like that before. How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Do you hear it in there with David? Raw emotion in one verse, anchored in trust in the next. Psalm 13 right here gives us permission to feel deeply and to trust deeply in the middle of worship. That's worship in the storm. That's worship when everything is wrong and it doesn't feel like anything's ever going to go right again. It's tears and it's trust. It's honesty and it's hope. And this is what music can do. It can help your heart say sometimes what your mouth can't. And so when we put it in the context of worship, worship actually becomes the language of the soul. The human will, what we think and how we emote, that soul piece. Worship becomes language for that. Those songs that people, God has gifted people to write, can become that for us. And so true worship, storm-ready worship, is grounded in truth. And it comes from the soul. It comes with all of you, every hope, every fear, every tear, every moment cast on the God who cares for you. And so as we get ready for this next worship moment, I want to encourage you and challenge you to bring your soul. Maybe you've never done this. Maybe you've never tapped into that. Maybe you've never thought about opening up your heart to God in a worshipful moment. I want to challenge you to try that, maybe for the first time. And so as we get ready for this next moment, I just want to give you permission to engage this moment however you need to. If you're in the middle of a storm right now and you just need to sit and cry, you have permission to do that. If you're coming out of a storm and you need to stand and lift your hands and praise God, then you can do that. If you need to close your eyes, if you need to get out of your seat and move to a different part of the room, if you need to pray, however you need to do it, whatever helps with an honest connection with God, do that in this next moment. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, bringing all of us and connecting to God with our head and our heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a safe place to bring all of us. There is nothing that I have to hide from you or hold back from you. You are big enough for every moment. You're big enough for every emotion. So God, as we enter into this moment with you, would you connect with us in a new way? Would you help us open our hearts and bring our souls to you in worship? I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to connect with God however you need to connect with God. It is in those moments that I don't ever want to leave. You know, one of the things I love about bringing my spirit to God in worship is that He doesn't just make a safe place for me to bring all of me. He actually wants all of me. All the pieces that I think are broken or dirty, He wants all of that. He wants you to bring every part of yourself into those worshipful moments. And as we do that, as worship refocuses our mind on truth and we connect to God with our whole selves and we start to bring ourselves into alignment, well, then we can start to do what true worshipers do, which is worship. See, when Jesus says true worshipers will worship, that little phrase right there in John 4, that word worship at the end is proskuneo. And it's a word of honor and reverence. And it is often used when kneeling or even putting one's forehead to the ground in order to express respect or to make a request of somebody in a position of authority over you. That's how that word is used. And Jesus uses it in the context of worshiping God. And here's why that's important. For Jesus and for many others across the world, worship includes your body. Worship includes your body. See, this is true. Your body is involved in everything, including when, you know, the storm hits, including when you're going through that difficult moment, when stress and trouble hits your life. Your body actually holds stress. It holds tension and stress. Storms take a toll on you. Your shoulders get tight, right? Your jaw can clench. Your whole body can actually go into survival mode in those moments. But Scripture shows that worship, it does something different, right? So worship is not just mental or emotional. It's actually physical and it's vocal. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says true worshipers will worship. See, your body is not separate from your mind and your soul. A lot of times we talk about it like that, you know, like we have a mind and a soul and our body. And they're like in these three separate silos. No, no, no. That's not how God created you. God created you as one being, mind, body, and soul, all connected, all working together, all one organism, one unit. You're one package created by God. So in worship, the body is not separate, meaning what you do with your body in worship matters. Your body can either reinforce the storm or it can reinforce your faith. If your head and your heart are in alignment with God in a worshipful moment, then your body needs to be a part of that journey. And look, it's really hard to be open to God, moving your heart or bringing your soul to the Lord like David did with your mouth closed or your arms crossed or in your pockets, shoulders slumped, right? I'm not calling anybody out, okay? I've not been watching you. But it's true. What you do with your body says a lot. If I was in a conversation with you, we're talking, and you stood across from me like this the whole time, I'm going to think this person does not like me and does not want me to talk to them, right? What you do with your body matters. We all know this. We know what nonverbal communication is. We know how sometimes our body says things that we're trying to not say with our mouth, right? Some of y'all can't hide your faces. We got some people like that. I'm one of those people sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for me to hide what I'm actually thinking, and people are just like watching my face do weird things. I know you're saying one thing, but your face says another, right? So our bodies communicate. They hold things. They say things. And so your body is part of worship as well. And not to be weird, like I'm not going to tell you to do some weird stuff, okay? So just relax for a second. And it's not to perform. What you do with your body in worship is not about the people around you. It has nothing to do with the people around you. It doesn't have to be the same as the people around you. This is not about performing. This is not about what you do in others' eyes. This is not about other people. This is about engaging God with your whole self in a moment with God. And so I think the Bible gives us some simple, accessible, physical responses that help align us in these worship moments. And so we're just going to walk through four very biblically grounded physical responses in worship. The first one is this: standing. We don't just ask you to stand for worship because it's easier to get you out of the seat afterwards at the end of service, okay? That's not what the standing is for in worship. Standing is actually a biblically grounded worshipful response. Standing equals honor and attention, right? Like, think if a judge walks into a courtroom, what does everybody do? Stand, right? All rise, right? When the bride comes down the aisle, what does everybody do? Everybody stands, right? It's honoring, right? We're giving honor and deference to that person. If in the military, when a higher-ranking officer walks by, you stand at attention, right? Until they dismiss you. There's an honor piece to this. When the word of God was read or God moved in the Bible, people stood. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. They're restoring the nation of Israel. One of the prophets, Ezra, stood on the platform in full view of everybody that was there. And when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. He didn't even have to ask. As soon as he opened the word of God, every single person stood to their feet in honor and deference. Standing says, I'm here. I am attentive and I am under the truth. Standing is actually a biblically worshipful response with your body. Next one is lifted hands. And I know for some of you, as soon as I said lifted hands, you saw a car driving off a cliff or something, right? It's like the strangest thing ever to you. Okay, I get it. But lifting hands is not to just be like, hey, it's me, I'm worshiping, or you know, you don't have a question for God or anything like that. No. Lifted hands is all about surrender, dependence, and receiving. Lifted hands say, I need you. I surrender, right? It's actually pretty intuitive, right? If you're giving up, if you're surrendering, don't shoot, right? Like, that's a pretty intuitive, like, we get that. It says, I'm here. I'm open to receive. Actually, one of my favorite worship postures personally is this right here. Because, like, this gets tiring. You know what I'm saying? I got, like, maybe two choruses, and shoulders are on fire, and no, I'm just kidding. I mean, it does do that, but that's not why this is my favorite. This is my favorite because this says, God, I'm ready to receive. Right? In my mind, in my spirit, God, I'm ready to receive. And here's my body showing, right, my physical response. I'm ready to receive whatever you have, Lord. And then personally for me in worship, there's a lot of times where I need to lay something down at Jesus' feet that maybe I've been carrying that I shouldn't have. And so this is also Jesus, I give you, and Jesus, I receive. Right? I like this one. Sometimes they come out here. Sometimes it's one hand up here. But like, however you do it, okay, it's all valid. Here's where we see it in Scripture. Psalm 134:2. Lift your hands toward the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalm 63, going back to Psalm 63, verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. This isn't random. It's not just Pentecostal. Anybody can do this, all right? Like, lifting your hands is real. The next thing is kneeling. And some of you guys are like, oh, here we go. We just went off the deep end, right? Kneeling. Kneeling indicates humility and full surrender. This was a posture used by prophets, kings, disciples, and the early church. They would come and they would kneel at the altar of God. Because kneeling is the ultimate form of worship. This is that word, proskuneos. It means to kneel, to put one's head down on the floor in honor of the person that is there. It says, I am not so important that I won't put myself on the ground for you. God, I see you as so big. I see you as so good that I will get down on the ground before you and before your presence and before your glory. Kneeling says, you're God and I'm not. I honor you. Psalm 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Matthew 2:11. Three wise men who went on a very long journey entered the house and saw the child Jesus with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These three honored, distinguished men traveled miles and miles and miles to get down on their knees before the King of Kings before they ever offered him anything. Kneeling is a worshipful posture. Lastly is singing. Lifting our voices in praise. Singing is the primary biblical posture of worship. We talked about this with the truth, but singing is how faith speaks. We proclaim things. And look, we don't have a problem with singing because you guys sing in your cars. I've driven by you. I've seen you. All right, you'll belt it out in the car. You'll go to a concert and you'll sing your favorite song. You'll go to a sports game and chant whatever chant they're doing, or sing the fight song, or just scream as loud as you can, right? Like, we have no problem using our voices. We just got to put it in the proper context now of worship. See, singing out loud, it's how hope rises in a storm. When we sing, we proclaim the truth with faith, and we invite God into the room in a different way. One of my favorite examples of this, Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Check this out. Around midnight, Paul and Silas, who were arrested for proclaiming the gospel, they were praying and singing hymns to God, the Psalms, and the other prisoners were listening. Everybody else was hearing. They were praying and they were worshiping. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. They were singing to God. And when they did that, prison doors flew wide open. Man, using our voice to lift to God as a physical response to worship, not only does it open our own prison doors, not only does it shake off our own chains, but it can shake off the chains for other people too. Every prisoner had their shackles taken off in that moment. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 2. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. There's a ton of others. Here's the cool part about singing worship to the Lord. You don't need a good voice. You just need an honest one. You don't have to sound great. You don't even have to sound good. You can sound just straight bad, and that's okay. But your honest voice, your vocal response to bring worship and honor to God. Man, when we start to pull all these pieces together, we can become true worshipers, as Jesus describes. And look, you can do this solo, at home, anytime. You don't have to be in a church to worship. We put a worship playlist on Facebook that brings a lot of the songs that we use on Sunday, so you can have that. And in the troubled times of life, I have found worship to be so helpful to connect me to God and recenter and realign me on what's true and what matters. It has the power to renew our strength so that we can go on and fight one more day. And look, sometimes in worship, we don't feel it. There's Sundays where I roll in and I'm like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. Okay, I'm tired. It's been a long week. Whatever the case, I don't always feel it. So, and honestly, those are the most important moments to worship. In those moments, we worship until we do feel it. We praise until we see something change. like Paul and Silas. Sometimes your storm-changing moment is just on the other side of a worship session. And when we do this on our own, it's powerful, but there's a whole nother level available when we do it together as a body of Christ. That's why Sunday mornings are so amazing. And this next moment, as we get ready for this next worship moment, is not about performance. Crossline, this next moment is about courage. It's about surrender. It's about doing something that the storm in your life is trying to shut down. It's a big deal to break from the norm and do something different, to kneel, right? It's hard to do, but I believe God meets us in these moments where we respond to His leading. And so this is not a moment where anybody's going to judge you. This may be different for some of you, but there's no wrong way to do this. And again, I understand this might be strange. This might be a brand new teaching for some of you guys. But I want to encourage you and challenge you in this next song to do something different. Find a new worship response that you have never done before and just try it. And so in this next song, I just want to open up this front down here on either side of the TV. If you want to use this as an altar, as the place to come kneel, please do so. Come and kneel before the Lord. If you want to go out in the wings or just find a space in the back to do that, go for it. Maybe raise your hands for the first time in a worship service. Sing out loud to God. Whatever it is for you, find a new physical response to worship. And let's engage God with all of us, our mind, our spirit, and our body. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Jesus, I thank you that you have created us to worship. I thank you that you meet us in these moments in ways that change our situation, that fling prison doors open and drop shackles from our arms. And I pray as we enter into this next moment of worship that you would fill us with boldness and with courage, help us to do something new. And as we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? In Jesus' name, amen.